This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast, brought to you, as always, by the good folks at BetRivers. Remember, download the BetRivers apps for all of your wagering needs as we head towards Selection Sunday and the NCAA tournament and everything else that will be heading our way, the Masters and plenty of golf and obviously the NBA and the NHL playoffs and everything else. But just remember, download your BetRivers app, new and improved. They upgrade it all the time for all your promotional needs, for all your wagering needs, for all your rewards and all your contests and everything else. Just go to BetRivers and they will have everything that you need at your fingertips. Now, we move a little more into the month of March as we await Selection Sunday and the tournament, Big East tournament next week. It'll be a big one for a lot of teams, yes, St. John's included. There's some teams very much on that bubble, teams that will need to play well in that tournament. So that quarterfinal day, where it looks very much like a St. John's Seton Hall game, those games are going to be critical, okay? A win there, and then a loss to UConn, you can live with that, especially if the UConn game is representative. St. John's is going to go in playing better, but everybody on that bubble's got to play well in that quarterfinal game. You're going to have to play in that quarterfinal game. There's going to be some eliminating going on, and it's going to go right down to the wire. We'll talk more about that next week. A little bit on the Yankees here. We haven't spent a whole lot of time on them. Obviously, there's great optimism this year, and there should be. Is it a team that is made to win a championship? You can't say that. I have some real question marks about the pitching staff. I don't love some of the starters. I have serious questions about the bullpen. Real questions about the bullpen that have to be answered. But one thing we know, the Yankees, who were at best a 500 club last year, lucky to finish above 500 last year, but they were the worst offensive Yankee team we have seen in forever. They were embarrassing, even mortifying offensively. Their batting average, their on-base percentage, the automatic outs that just dotted the lineup all the way through, the weakness of the bottom of the lineup, which was something we've never seen in recent years or even in the last decades from the Yankees. But that has been, it's been fixed. There's no question about it. The Yankees, Cashman, have found, at least found sensibility again. And they have brought the left-handed entity, the left-handed power that we have screamed about and yelled about and wanted for so long. They have now brought that to the lineup. And this is going to be an interesting lineup. I think a good lineup and at times a dynamic lineup. They don't have a real leadoff hitter. LeMahieu will have to be their leadoff hitter when he's not in the lineup. I'm sure they'll slide Volpe up to be the leadoff hitter, although he's not a classic. He's on base percentage is way too low. But one thing that should be and I've yelled about this for a long time, and I hope they see it. And this isn't old-fashioned. This is what makes sense. Judge should bat third in this lineup. I know he wants to bat third. He should bat third. It shouldn't even be an issue. He should be the number three hitter in this lineup, not the number two hitter, number three hitter. That way you can really go lefty-righty, which gives you a big advantage late in the game, especially against relievers. It's a big positive. So you start with LeMahieu, Soto. Soto brings you power. He brings you, obviously, a great hitter and an incredible on-base percentage that is always above four. And that's saying something. Above four. We're not talking about 350 here. We're talking about 420 here. So, LeMahieu, Soto, Judge. Rizzo, who's a big key. Anything they get out of Rizzo this year, I think, is a big plus. But if he can get back to being Rizzo, this lineup is going to soar. But LeMahieu, Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Verdugo. So you're going right, left, right, left, right, left. Torres, the catcher, Volpe. You got Volpe in the double leadoff spot. So you got him down there where you want him in the nine hole. So he gives you some speed at the top of the lineup when he turns it around and when he's on top of it. So that's your lineup. It's a good one. It's a balanced one. Verdugo, I think, will get 50 extra base hits this year. And he's probably been forgotten, but he shouldn't be. I think Grisham is going to be a key pickup. Came over, obviously, in the Soto deal. His last couple of years, they've been unhappy with, especially his batting average. But one thing here. The guy is left-handed. He's a gold glove center fielder, and he's got speed. He's got speed. He's got power. He's averaged 15 home runs a year the last 3 years in like 450 at-bats. That guy can hit 20 home runs if he gets at-bats at Yankee Stadium. And there's going to be days where you're going to DH Judge and have Grisham in center field. And he's going to turn out to be a big key. He's going to be in the game late for defensive purposes. And he's going to get a lot more time than you think. You know you're going to get injuries in the outfield. And when that happens, you're going to slide guys around and put him in the outfield. And he could turn out to be a very valuable. I think he will turn into a very popular Yankee. I think he will be a real steal. And that he's in that deal. I understand they were disillusioned with him. I understand that. The bottom line is, this is really good. I think it's a good change of scenery for him. And he brings what you want. He can, first of all, he's a terrific center fielder. Secondly, he's got speed. Third, he's got power. Verdugo, I think, is a guy who's going to blossom at Yankee Stadium. I can see 50 extra base hits out of him. I can see 20 homers. I can even see more than 20 homers. So having Soto, having a healthy Rizzo, having Verdugo, having Grisham, all of a sudden, you got lefty sticks in the lineup. Finally, it's not like looking at a lineup that's four or five straight anemic, awful right-handed hitters who couldn't hit a lick. That's what you had in the lineup last year. Day after day after day, it was sickening. This lineup is good. It's balanced. It's got, obviously, a lot of power. It's got two of the top five players in baseball back-to-back. They could even be two of the top three, if you want to get argumentative. That's how good Soto and Judge are. If Rizzo comes up and plays, you know, if Rizzo gives you 25 homers, that's going to be enormous. Stanton, and then getting Grisham in the lineup, you watch, it's going to be a big key. And you know guys are going to get hurt. They're going to miss weeks. You're going to have torn muscles. You're going to have guys injured. It happens all the time. You need depth. He gives you that. But, again, forget the analytics. Forget Judge batting two. Put him in the three hole. Let him get up with LeMahieu and Soto in front of him. He will get up with guys on base all the time. You want traffic in front of him. You want the pitcher out of the stretch. The bottom line is it's going to help Judge immeasurably. Do I love this starting rotation? No. I've never, listen, Cole had a great year. I've never loved him. I've never trusted him in the big spot. I can't say he's not a top flight pitcher. He is. I just don't love him. I worry about Stroman at Yankee Stadium. I think Stroman's a pro, but I worry about him at Yankee Stadium. I'm not a Rodon fan. I don't like him at all. I wish he wasn't on the team. And I don't trust him a lick. Not at all. I don't like anything about him. Wish he was gone. Clark Schmidt's going to be key. Obviously, Cortez's going to be key. I expect that they'll get, you know, solid performances out of those guys. I wouldn't expect anything less. You know, I would expect that to be what you would expect from them. Would you like to see them get Snell? I like Snell. I always have. The Yankees are not going to let him push him to a big number for a variety of reasons, including the luxury tax and everything else. I don't see them giving him a lot of money. I don't think he's going to wind up here. If he does, I think it's a big positive, but I don't think he is. I know the Yankees made an offer. He already turned it down. They aren't where he wants to be in terms of per year money. I understand he is going to have to settle a little bit at this point, but I don't think it's the Yankees. I really don't. They could use him. I think that puts them in a different place. I think the Yankees are a 90-win team, a 92-win team. They're not much better than that right now. I don't love the pen. I'm worried about it. Big year for Holmes, obviously. You know, walk year for him, big year for him. I think he's got good stuff. I don't think he is unbelievably reliable. They obviously, the Yankees are good at coming up with live arms. That doesn't mean they're going to turn it into a good pen. So I'll take a step and wait and see. I really, other than Holmes, who we know about, and we know some of the guys there and what they can do, none of them are overwhelming. It's not great. The bottom line is, I don't think it's going to be a great pen. They need it. It can be a deep pen. Let's see how it works out. Pens are year to year anyway. The starting pitching is not bad, but I don't think it's as good as people think it is. I think they need another pitcher. Doesn't mean they have to get him today. They can get him during the season. They can rent a guy for the last 2 months if they need it. They can worry about that as it unfolds. Stroman will win games. I think he'll be better on the road than he is at home. I think he's vulnerable at Yankee Stadium with the way he pitches. He's never been a great Yankee Stadium pitcher. We'll see how that works out. I think Schmidt is a big key to the rotation. Big key. Because I am not big on Rodon at all. I'm just not. I'm not. I don't like any. He was awful last year. His body language was bad. The way he acted was terrible. The way he pitched was worse. I mean, he was just dreadful. I don't trust him at all. I would be very, very concerned about him. I'm not expecting a huge bounce back. I'm really not. So are they short a pitcher? Yes. Could they use another arm in the pen? Yes. But you can say that about most teams. Okay? Is this a much improved team? Yeah, of course. Well, you just look at what they did to the lineup. They took a lineup last year that batted 236 that was completely anemic, that couldn't score runs, and turned it into a balanced lineup that can pound the baseball, hit plenty of home runs. I mean, you can look at this team and say, I can get 80 home runs, and that's being conservative, 80 home runs out of Soto and Judge. I can get 25 out of Rizzo. I can get 25 out of Stanton. I can get 20 out of Verdugo. I can get 20 out of Torres. I can get 20 out of Volpe. I can get 15 plus out of Grisham. That's plenty of home runs. I can get some home runs out of the catches. That's plenty of home runs. That's plenty of power, and it's balanced. You have lefty, you have some depth, and you have lefty hitters, which is critical, which is needed for so long. Now you have lefty pop, and you have one of the premier left-handed hitters in all of baseball, who is on a walk year, who wants a huge contract. Now, is that going to happen in season? No, it's not. Are they going to have a problem re-signing him? Yes, but you know what? Let that be a story for another day. Let's see how he does here. Let's see how much New York, you know, gets into his you know, daily life and his spirit, and to, you know, just see how much he adopts and really becomes part of the city or not. You know, does he really become a big part of the team? Does the fans embrace him? You know, let's see how that all unfolds. I think he's going to have a big year. The fans are going to obviously go out of their way to be nice to him. He is a premier, premier hitter. He has raked in spring, but that means very little. But he's going to rake anytime. I mean, the guy's a great hitter. Last year, he was having a miserable, miserable season a third of the way through. I mean, he was having, if you went back and looked, his numbers were terrible. What'd he wind up with? 35, 109, a 930 OPS, you know, 400 on base percentage. What else could you ask for? He's in Yankee Stadium now. That 35 becomes 45. His pop-ups go out of the ballpark. And he's going to see nothing but good pitching. He's got one of the premier players, if not the premier player, behind him. He's hitting spring. Obviously, he's hit 580 so far, but hey. Again, he wanted to make a good impression, but he's got power behind him. He's got a lot of power behind him. I mean, with Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Verdugo, Torres, they're going to hit a lot of home runs. They are going to hit a lot of home runs. I think they are basically, considering the Oriole injuries to their starting rotation, right now, the Yankees and the Orioles are, to me, tied atop the division. To me, I put them in the same exact place. I put them both right around 92, 93 wins. The division's always competitive. Don't ever count out Tampa. You know they're going to be tough. I can see Toronto taking a step back. Bottom line is, we know what Baltimore can do. We know how good their young players are. They have had a couple of key injuries to their rotation. That does impact them, but I think the Yankees are right there. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win a championship. What it means is that they're going to go back to the postseason, which you expect anyway. But, hey, they're going to be a much more explosive, exciting, and such an improved lineup from last year. That goes without saying. And then we'll see how the pitching unfolds. As for the Mets, you know, their bullpen is going to be deep. It looks like it has some quality, and they have, obviously, a premier closer. The lineup, I think Marte will bounce back. You have plenty of pop there. Alvarez is going to hit 25 homers behind the plate. I think Alonso is obviously going to do what he always does. You got Lindor. You got Nimmo. You got Bader in center. You got McNeil. You got Marte. That's plenty of pop. You got Stewart. They got plenty of pop. The lineup's not bad. Their bullpen's going to be good. Their starting pitching. What can you say? You cannot win with this starting pitching. Senga's hurt, so he doesn't start for a while. Plus, he only pitched 166 innings last year. You're counting on Severino, who knows. And from there, you're going to hope what? You're going to say who's the ace with Senga out? Quintana? I mean, come on. This is a bunch of guys you pray they go five innings. This is a pitiful excuse for a rotation. You cannot take this team and call it a contender because of that rotation. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know, I understand the idea of doing it through a bullpen and a rotation by committee, but this is taking it to a crazy degree. You have to have a couple of very, very reliable, productive arms at the top of any rotation. At least two, and that's still cutting it very thin. They don't have any right now with Senga on the shelf. They don't have any that you can count on. You can't count on Severino, not off what you've seen the last couple of years. So are there days where that starting rotation will surprise? I'm sure there will be. But there's going to be a lot of days where they're going to be in the bullpen in the third inning. A lot of days. And when you go into a season, you have to fill 1,458 innings, and that is a lot of innings, and a bunch of them have to be quality if you want to win games. I understand this is a year of evaluating and making decisions. But don't try to sell it as some kind of surprise year for, you know, being competitive, jumping up and winning, you know, 88 games and sneaking your way into the playoffs. Not with that pitching. Not with that starting pitching. Not going to happen. You'd be lucky to be 500 with that pitching. Because it's just too much to ask day in and day out. Way too much to ask. I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys in that pen who are going to log a lot of innings. And I understand they, you know, have their lab and they have their way of finding guys and they think they can uncover gems in the bullpen. That's fine. They better uncover a whole bunch of them. And I've told you, and I know it's the question with the Mets right now, I would try to get Alonso signed. You cannot turn your back on him. They need him. When you have a guy who embraces New York, who likes it here, who wants to play here, who thrives here, and a guy who plays every day and puts up those numbers consistently, you got to keep him. Now, I understand they don't want to get locked into having him in a 10-year contract. I understand that. Cut it in half and give him a very high yearly rate. Make his number, you know, really make it high for 5 years and get him signed. Give him $40+ million a year for 5 years and get it done. And then you can evaluate him in his mid-30s. Now, I understand he doesn't want that. He wants a long-term contract, but it can be hard to get. Baseball teams don't want to sign those deals anymore. They know they've been punished by those deals. Nobody wants to sign them anymore. You notice, hey, unless you're not paying attention, you see what baseball is doing. They are rushing their kids. They're real good kids. They are rushing them to the major leagues now. It used to be years and years to get them there. Now it is an express train to the major leagues. They will learn on the fly. Fundamentals be damned. They will learn on the fly in the major leagues. We are getting those years out of them with the big club. And that's the way it's going. These teams get younger and younger and younger. But youth, athleticism is the way the game has gone. When we come back, we'll hit a couple emails.
You're listening to the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
All right, send your emails to MikeFrancesaPodcast@gmail.com. MikeFrancesaPodcast@gmail.com. How do you think the Pats should approach rebuilding their offense with the number three pick in the draft this year? Listen, unless the Pats are going to sign a free agent quarterback who can play, unless they're going to trade for Fields or sign Cousins, and I don't think they're going to do either, then they need to draft a quarterback in the number three spot. I don't think there's any question about that, and rebuild the team. That's where it has to be. So that's all there is to it. Find the guy you like, or you can sign a veteran if you want, but they need to upgrade dramatically, starting with the quarterback position, and then upgrade dramatically throughout the offense. Zach, Brett Gardner doesn't deserve to have his number retired, but does he deserve a plaque in Monument Park? No. I like Brett Gardner a lot personally, always have. I always liked him as a player, but he doesn't deserve either of those things. We give ordinary players, Brett's a good, solid player, nothing more. You can't give every player who leaves a plaque or a retired jersey. It's gotten ridiculous with the Yankees. They have, it should stand, in my mind, it should stand for immortality. It should be upper echelon Hall of Famers who get their numbers retired. I would think you would have to, A, unless you did something extreme a la Sandy Koufax, or have a tragic ending like a Thurman Munson. Otherwise, you play 10 years with the team, or you're not getting your number retired. Number two, during those 10 years, you have to be good enough to be a Hall of Famer. If you're a Hall of Famer, you get your number retired. If you're not a Hall of Fame quality, if there's a question of whether you're going in the Hall of Fame or not, you're not getting your number retired. In my world. So, as I said the other day, I would have retired 3, 4, and 5, obviously. 7, without any question. I would have retired Yogi. I would have retired Whitey. I would have retired Jeter. I would have retired Mariano. I doubt I would have retired anybody else. I will listen for Thurman because of what happened. He was a captain, died tragically. He led them back at an important juncture. I would listen about him, but that's special circumstances. Now that it seems likely the two local teams will match up next Thursday in the Big East tournament, there's a good chance St. John's and Seton Hall will be the 4-5 game. Yes. Is it an elimination game? It could be. I think Seton Hall's in, though. I think they've done enough. I think the win over Villanova the other night iced them. I think they're in. So I think it would have to be a win for St. John's. I think Seton Hall's in. I don't think Seton Hall has to do any more. I think St. John's, Villanova, Providence have to do more. I don't think Seton Hall has to do any more. Does Rick Pitino's history make any difference on their consideration as a bubble team? Yes, it does. They will tell you it doesn't, but it does. Because when you're breaking ties, in the back of the committee's mind is, how will this team play in the NCAA tournament? If I let them in as a 10 or an 11, how are they going to justify that? Are they going to come in and play well? And the answer is, well, if you have one of the great coaches in the history of the sport, you have an advantage. Just like Izzo would break ties. I would invite Izzo in, or the late Rick Majerus. Those kind of guys, or Jay Wright, okay? These kind of guys who are going to have their team ready if you put them in. If St. John's comes in, here's why I think St. John's candidacy is very live. If I'm sitting in the committee room and they come to me and they ask me, hey, you think St. John's can win two games in this tournament? I'd say, absolutely. They could definitely do that. That, to me, is a plus. I have to sometimes put a team in that I don't think is very good, but they have the resume. I might not like them personally, but they have the resume. Here is a team, though, that clearly is on the bubble, which played badly, doesn't have a lot of quad wins, had a real stretch for almost 2 months where it did nothing, and has played better lately, especially the Creighton game. But remember, the Creighton game was a – I look at that, and if you know basketball, you knew Creighton was going to have a terrible game that day. They were coming off a win at home against UConn. They beat the number one team in the country on their home floor. Then they basically spent the next couple of days taking bows. That kind of team is ripe. I always look to play against that team the next game because psychologically they've just spent their time having a great time. And that was a good win. St. John's played really well that day. St. John's has played better of late. He has relied more. I thought all year Dingle had to come to the fore for them to be a better team. That has happened. I think Taylor has become much more a big factor for them, and I think Dingle has become a bigger factor for them. That's critical, because Dingle can score. And they need that, because there are times they can't put the ball in the ocean. What are your thoughts on the jerseys, the road jerseys, all the jerseys? Hey, I think it is just a joke. And these leagues never fail to make themselves look foolish with their decision-making, all looking to grab some more money. I mean, there's a few things you want to leave alone. The Yankee uniform is one. And the uniforms they've now come up with are not only getting terrible reviews, they're embarrassing. So it's become a folly. They make these decisions and they turn out and they explode in their face time after time after time. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.